Hey, welcome back to Middle-Aged and Mediocre. We are still here. We still exist. I know it's been a while.
Yeah.
But I am still Cash.
I'm still Joel.
That's still Joel over there.
Hello.
Yeah, we've been gone for a little bit, I think. Yep. I think for a couple weeks, maybe three.
Been gone since November.
No, we haven't. I don't think. We've been gone for a while, though.
February.
Life is happening, man. Life is happening fast.
Uh-huh. Football ended and... I had a couple weeks there
where I was sad.
Yeah. What do I do now?
And then NBA had the damn All-Star break, yeah. And I was just like, what the hell do people watch?
And the All-Star game was yeah, all of it's bad.
The whole thing was bad. Like,
they need to have them win money or something.
Something. It was awful.
Back in my day, the All-Star game meant something.
It
was close. I mean... It was, you know, they tried.
It was competitive.
There's no defense.
They just need to bring Jordan back and have him play in every All-Star game,
yeah.
I think.
He'd probably do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think because he
could bet on it.
He's not going to lose. So.
No.
But hey, if this is the first time you've ever listened to the show or, you know, if you just forgot.
Get out now. Oh, no. I mean, welcome.
First time listener. Maybe you're a newborn baby that just entered this world. And you don't know what is happening right now.
You don't know.
We are middle-aged and mediocre. I'm Cash. That's Joel.
We're babies. We're just big babies.
We're man babies.
I mean, I still poop and pee just like a baby.
Yeah.
Still I'm cry not making fun of you, but I do it.
You still cry all the time.
Trust me.
Well, I take your word for it. For the pooping and peeing.
All right, good.
I've never seen you do either, so...
No, you haven't. Isn't that weird?
It is weird. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to think about it.
But, like, I don't know if I've ever seen you be like, I need to go use the bathroom real quick.
Oh, I've told you what I've left here. I was like, all right, I'm going to go.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Never mind. But, yeah, so our show, this show, is... So we're going to talk about a true crime story today.
Cool.
But bookending, we bookend it with some nonsense. We catch up.
Yeah.
You see what's going on. We have some discussion. And then, you know, at the end, we rewrap things up.
Funsies.
This is not your show where it's all serious. And while we respect victims of everything, we make jokes about the suspects.
Yeah. This is not your great-grandmother's podcast.
You're going to hear some language.
Mostly English.
A lot of dick and poop jokes, probably.
Yeah.
So sit back. Enjoy. Just want to give you all a heads up in case there are new listeners out there.
I feel like it's been 3 weeks I needed that reminder.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought it was a good time for a refresher.
I wore my investigation hat over.
You did. I noticed that.
I wasn't ready to be all dick and poop stuff. But.
Well, we're going
to
be doing some investigating today. Cool, so
cool. I've been watching investigation stuff.
We'll get into that. Yeah, we'll get into that story, our story in a few.
I've been slamming a bunch of TV and movies.
Yeah?
I like it.
Let's hear about it.
Well, first on HBO, I watched the Moscow. They have a little 45-minute Well, I'm sorry. HBO was my dad. You can call me Max.
Yeah.
It was Max.
Mr. Max to you, please.
I was watching Max, and they had a 45-minute documentary about the Moscow murders.
Okay.
Pretty much everything we covered, you know, but it's just crazy to see. They had body cam footage of when the cops would go there because there'd be parties. They'd be like, where's the homies? It's like, oh, no, those are here. Because remember, like, people would just come and go from there.
Body cam.
Could you imagine just you not being home and there's 12 people in your house partying? I mean,
no.
I used to live those days.
No, I would hate that.
Oh, like, that was the scariest part of it. Showed that guy. He's definitely, allegedly, I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's got the deadest eyes and...
They
have his car circling the house like numerous. I can't remember what all we talked about, but it's an interesting 45-minute show on there. It's just one little. It's not episodes or anything.
I only had one period of my life like that, and that was when I lived in an apartment with my buddy.
Yeah.
And I would get home from work or whatever, and there'd be a bunch of people over, and I would just like none of you are in my room. I'm like Linda Belcher from Bob's Burgers, and stay out of my room.
Yeah. Put a lock on your door.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not often you come home and you're like, what in that? Not for me, anyway. I like to come home and decompress.
I never want to walk in here and there be a bunch of people mingling.
I walk in here and I'm let down you're here.
Yeah.
I keep hoping maybe one day you'll just won't be here and I'll just have like free reign in
here. How do you think I feel when you walk in? So you watch that. That's on Max.
Max. But I also have been watching, I think it's called The Amazing Case of Natalie Grace. But that doesn't sound right because it's not very amazing. Incredible. Maybe it's the incredible case of Natalie Grace.
Jamie, I will pull that up.
Yeah. Give that some quick claps. I'm trying to think of something to say instead of goog because there's, you know, that's what like Joe List and Mark Norman say.
The Curious Case.
The Curious Case. Natalia Grace. It's definitely, I thought amazing in my head didn't sound right. But basically, it's about a Ukraine girl who comes over here. She's either like 7 or 8.
Six years old.
Six. Gets adopted by it. Well, they're never sure in there. Like, they keep changing. They get adopted.
Initially assumed to be a six-year-old Ukrainian orphan.
And she gets adopted by this family. And like, Max, I'm sorry. It's so hard. Max is such a motherfucker. Because that first season, they like totally, they present everything to where she is. Because like the family's like, she's not really 7. She's from the Ukraine. She's 22 years old and she wants to kill everybody and like the star of the show, which is a shit show, so the shittiest motherfucker of the show is the adopted dad Michael. He's the most over the top dramatic guy. Like I kept watching it for him.
Yeah,
like he's like these one of those guys when he talks sometimes his eyes will get really big and he does a lot of things with his arms when he's talking. Like I think one time he took his arms off and like put them in each other's place. Nah, he's always doing.
Oh, I thought
he looked at me like that was a real thing.
I thought you said he had a doll that he did that.
Oh, no. He's nothing but interviews. It's like interviews from him in like 2019, and then interviews in 22, and then like interviews in 23. And he just.
So is this what that movie The Orphan's based on?
No, but they said that's where they got the idea for all this.
Oh, okay. Because
I don't want to spoil a whole lot, because I think it is pretty cool case to watch. But Max, just they fuck with you, man. It's 2 seasons so far.
Okay.
And like first they're like, they make you kind of like, oh, she's definitely this evil Ukraine child ready to kill everybody. Then by season 2, they're like, oh, I'm an asshole, I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah,
I'm going to hell. I'm no better than these adopted parents.
Oh.
And then like towards the end I'm like, am I an asshole?
Okay.
Like it's a
roller coaster.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster. I don't like roller coasters.
A roller coaster to the max.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
And that's how that's Regal Cinemas. It's the roller coaster.
The Curious Case of Natalia Grace.
Yeah, and just for Michael, man. That guy is he is just
Michael Barnett.
He's the craziest character I've ever
seen.
So,
but
on TV.
It says it's a cast.
Because, I mean, it interviews a bunch of people, but it's based on, like, it's the life they lived.
But it says, so.
I don't know why it says cast, but probably.
Michael's who
episodes.
You're talking about, right?
Yeah, but they play themselves. I mean,
it says his name is Dan Cody.
What?
Yeah.
This must be a movie. What are you looking at? This has to be. This is.
Is it this guy?
Are you blowing my mind? No, that's not. I don't think so.
Is this a show you're talking about? The Curious Case of Natalia Grace on Max. It's a docuseries.
Are you blowing my mind right now? I can't talk about this.
Two seasons. And then it says cast Michael Barnett.
Maybe he changed his name or something?
Because everybody else is self.
Adoptive father. Oh, because there's some reenactments in there.
Oh.
Okay.
Whoa,
dude. Okay. Oh, I was about to shut this shit down. And like, oh my God. If that guy was an actor and he was able to be like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my God. I forgot there are some reenactments.
There's some reenactments. Okay. I was going to say, what's going on here? Because it's also that only.
You got me, Cash!
Yeah, because three people play characters.
Yeah.
So Michael, Dan Cody plays Michael Barnett, Caitlin McDonald. Something plays Christine Barnett, and then Katrina Kemp plays Natalia.
And the mom takes no part in the documentary. She, like, they just, like, kind of, like, we'll talk. Because they went to court. I mean, like, all, like, it ended up being in court.
Yeah,
I mean,
Michael Barnett itself.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, this was, it's a damn crazy case. But, yeah, we blew, like, Kylie had seen it. And she, like, so I was like, well, let's watch it. And I was fucking.
You were hooked?
Yeah, like, 3-4 episodes a night.
Okay.
Get through pretty quick.
We're definitely going to be checking that out.
So I won't spoil any more. Then we'll talk about it later on.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're going to start the Michael. And that's not a fan club. It's the appreciation club. Wacky this dude is. Like, he does this thing where, like, he always goes to cry. And, like, eventually one little tear will come down. And I swear, he's always just doing. Like, I'm sure he's on the spectrum.
I'm
going to
start it tonight.
And it's so cool to watch, like, the 3 or 4 different years they interview him. They show all these different interviews, and he'll say one thing in 2019, tell her something different in 2023. Then goes back to 2020, where, like, maybe he just telling the truth then. And he's just, he's always the victim. And it's just, it's, he's wild, man.
Good deal. Yeah, I'll start it tonight. All right. It was an ID show. It was on Investigation Discovery.
Now it's on Max.
Yeah. So, all right, cool. Max rarely has anything now that I'm interested in. So.
No.
Watching anything else good? Any good movies lately?
10 Things I Hate About You, Copycat. We watched Wedding Singer.
Just going back and watching some of the classics.
VHS, man. I don't just talk about the life. I live the life. You live the life. Yeah. True Romance. We watched that on Valentine's Day on VHS. I told you how I got that. Yeah, that's a
little touchy subject right now. That, you know. I mean, I guess your girlfriend should probably have it.
But, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
But, you know, like.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's right. If I find another copy, it's for me. But if I find another copy after that, I'm gonna sell it. But then come across another one,
Kylie needs a second.
I'll put it up on Facebook for the first one who wants it. But then if there's another, I'm gonna give it to you.
Okay, cool. So yeah. Okay. Cool. Awesome. You're the best.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Only my favorite movie.
It's hers too. She has the You're So Cool tattoo.
Okay, well, I guess I don't have that.
And so it's our first, we've been together a little over a year now, but you know, like one of our first dates was Valentine's Day watching that movie at her house.
Okay.
So we watched it again this Valentine's Day. I told VHS. You.
I get it. I get it. All right. Just, it's a source of interest. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Well, I have no problem and with that.
You don't care.
When have you not been disappointed with me? name that time.
2000. When did I meet you?
I don't know.
So the year before that.
Long time ago. I've been watching movies and YouTube. Shane Gillis on Saturday Night Live tonight.
Oh, that is tonight. Yeah. That should be interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. What do you think about that?
They
canceled him and then they want him back.
I suspect that will be like in the monologue.
Yeah, they've been talking a lot about when they did that to the guy that used to do the Norm MacDonald. Mm-hmm. They fired him and brought him back to host, and he kind of scorched him a little bit in his monologue.
I mean, I don't know. I thought
Shane's a pretty easygoing guy. I think he's just gonna have a little fun at it.
I thought the whole thing was very. I'm not. It was not a comment that would have offended me though, because I'm not.
It was like something Asian.
Yeah. I don't remember. So I have no personal. So I can't speak on it from, you know.
But I've been watching like his, like they just like interviews with him. And, like, he's always said good things about Lorne Michaels. He's like, you know, he doesn't blame Lorne. Lorne, like, you know, he was hoping that it would come out. Then like the next day, it was just, you know, they'd be able to go on with it, but it was just too much.
I think SNL likes to be able to, like, have their cake and eat it too often. So they want to be able to – it's like when they had Trump on, you know, like, to host and everything. And they've always done it. They try to take stands when it's good for them, but then they'll turn around and, like, have – people like Trump on.
Yeah.
And then in this case, you know,
they're
never
going to host it after this.
I might now. But, you know, then they get rid of Gillis after they hire him because of this. But now that he's, you know,
the Bud Light spokesperson,
he's really out there now. So, you know, now they're like, okay, well, actually,
yeah,
now that it's kind of advantageous and everybody's going to watch it because, well, not everybody, but a lot.
It's this is the first Saturday Night Live I can remember in a long time where I was like, I gotta watch this.
Yeah, because like the last one I watched, Nikki Haley popped up on there. She's the other Republican candidate for president right now,
why politicals.
But like, she pretends like, since she's not,
I have heard that name though. Now that I think
they have her on there, it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
she's just like, anyways. We don't.
But hey, I'm looking forward to that.
We don't get into politics.
It'll be too late by the time you hear this. But Shane Gillis tonight on Saturday Night Live.
Can't believe he said what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, and did. Uh-huh. Like, I can't believe they let him say that on Saturday Night Live.
I've watched some of his podcasts. He said a lot of things.
I can't believe he just punched Michael Shea right in the mouth.
Michael Shea was holding the baby.
Yeah. Colin Jost was the baby. It was weird.
Punch.
So.
But he's got funny skits on YouTube, too. Yeah. He had a show with that, I can't remember, Matt something, Mikulski or something, but they have funny skits on the YouTube.
Man, I watch some, like, I barely watch anything else now.
Yeah,
I
know.
Just whatever's on YouTube.
I used to, like, talk so much shit.
Me too. I watched, last weekend, I watched Hotel Hazbin, H-A-Z-B-I-N, I think. I was doing some stuff with the computer, and Danielle was over here. And I was like, just watch whatever you want to watch. And she put that on, and it's like an animated show.
Uh-huh.
It's so fucking good. Huh. It's on Netflix. And it's like about like angels and devils and stuff. It was so fucking funny.
Does it have celebrities on? Like, not like the real celebrities, but...
Yeah, I think the voice cast is pretty good. Like,
But they're playing, like, has-been celebrities?
No, no, that's kind of what I thought, too. So it's like... it's got Stephanie Beatriz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Does one of the main voices. Basically, the daughter of the devil opens up this hotel. And is trying to, like, opens it up as a rehabilitation hotel for... people in hell.
Yeah.
Because she wants to prove that, you know, just because you're in hell doesn't mean you can't have redemption.
Sure.
So
that's the ultimate redemption.
Which then pisses off heaven. It's good. It's good. I really enjoyed it.
Well, anything that pisses off heaven, you know.
David is a voice in it.
Keith David.
Not David Keith.
David Keith.
Keith David. He was
I'm sure I know.
Armageddon. He's the one that fought Roddy Piper and They Live in the alley. He's been in everything. As soon as you saw him or heard him, you know who it was. He has a very distinguishable voice.
Well, who's David Keith?
David Keith is, you would see, you would know him too if you saw him. He's in every cop show or low-budget cop movie.
Okay. Does he kind of have like the little like kind of... like the hair that's receiving.
Yeah, and he has a very square jaw.
Is he a Super Trooper? Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Guy, okay.
And then Keith, this is such a good podcast. Keith David is
what?
That guy.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
You think they ever met? Have they ever been in the same thing together?
I don't know. If not, Hollywood fucked up.
Yeah.
So.
Man, this is David Keith. Keith David.
So, yeah. That's
all I got.
I really haven't watched much else. Like, I know there's stuff out there everybody keeps telling me to watch, but...
You watch Saltburn?
Nope.
God damn, what about my joke? I've heard Tree Huggers, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah, so if you've watched Saltburn, that just made sense to you. I'm assuming somebody fucks a tree.
You're just missing out on so much cock.
Yeah, I'm good.
Story of your life.
Yeah, story of my life. Always the bride.
Cock's
always the bridesmaid, never the something.
Fucker?
Yeah. I just, if it's not a 20-minute YouTube video.
Yeah.
I can't. I did watch, and like found footage horror I watch. That's pretty much the only thing I watch.
Which is kind of like YouTube.
Yeah, Life of Belle. If you're into found footage horror, go watch Life of Belle on YouTube. It's on YouTube. I've been going back and watching the Hell House LLC movies, which is my favorite found footage horror series. The Blackwell Ghost is a series on Amazon. It's a movie series. Each movie's about an hour. The guy that does them and stars in them and everything. So, like, it's one of these things where people... There's Facebook groups dedicated to, like... So, is this all legit or not? And it's like, it's not. It's a piece of fiction. But it's done very well, and it starts. It's also such a brilliant like marketing scam on his part, because you have to like the first one's on Netflix for free right now.
Oh.
Number 8 just came out.
$800.
2 through 8, I believe you have to rent or buy, so you can rent them each for like $5, which I've done. But like it starts out as like the first two, like he's going to the Blackwell House, which is like, and it's they're him and his wife are investigating like a ghost. But now it's turned into this whole murder mystery thing, and like that involves Florida and other places.
It's all found footage.
Now they're doing like it's mostly found footage, or it's mostly just like not found even, but just you know that kind of
like it looks like it's surveillance,
handheld video cameras and stuff. Yeah. So it's kind of started to go more in a... I really like what they're doing with it now.
Hell House LLC, is that the one?
Then Hell House LLC. There's 4 of those all together now. Okay. They're all on Shudder. I think they're on Tubi. And probably some other places too. But
how about Shudder Island?
Love Shudder Island.
That's good.
Yeah. Hell House LLC, though, if you don't like clowns...
You're like, you're no clown.
If clowns scare you, then these are the movies for you if you want to be scared.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they...
I had to clear that up. I was like, because...
Sorry, yeah.
But if you don't like clowns, you don't want to watch
they
it.
Have
some
the,
people are like,
they have the creepiest fucking clowns of all time, and they make appearances in all four.
I appreciate clowns.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah. So the newest one is called Carmichael Manor, I think. Hell House LLC Carmichael Manor. And it's so fucking good. It's creepy as shit. So if you're into found footage or horror or whatever, check those out for sure if you haven't seen them.
Man, I'm still reeling about the fact that Michael could have been fake.
Could have been.
Wow, dude.
I wish that would have.
You scrambled me.
I wish that would have all turned
out. I seriously almost had to stop. Like, there was like half a second there where I was like, we gotta stop this. And I gotta wrap my head around this.
You would have had to have a whole new world.
Okay, I think I'm clear of it for now. I'm gonna try to set it aside.
Like Gypsy Rose, figuring out your whole life was a lie.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Man, that guy's such a maniac.
Of course, thought you and Gypsy Rose had a lot in common.
Golly.
All right, you want to get into the story?
Yeah, man. Tell me some shit.
Yeah, man. All right.
Lay it on me.
So, we're gonna talk about a dude named Chase Tyler Masner. He was born on September 4th, 1987. To Father Corbin Masner and his mother Stephanie Cadena. Both parents were very young, just a little bit over 20. So, like many stories before, young love wasn't enough to keep the couple together for very long. So the two split early in Chase's life. There's not a whole lot of information out there.
It was the 80s.
It was the 80s and early 90s. Not too far after that. you know how time works.
Yeah, wait, let me write this down.
Yeah, yeah.
Late
so,
80s,
87, 3 years later, would be 90s.
Hmm.
There's not much information about Chase's early life, really, except for in 2005, he was arrested for marijuana possession when he was 18.
Yeah.
No lasting consequences, though. He was still able to do what he, one of his life goals, enlist in the United States Army.
They'll take them.
So Chase served in the military during the late 2000s, was deployed to Iraq for a year. When he returned, he experienced difficulties related to PTSD. He met and married his wife, Amanda, after his return from Iraq. Later, he was discharged from the Army. And then they welcomed their first child, Sydney, into the world shortly after that. Unfortunately, things became complicated for the young couple over the next few years, leading to a challenging situation that would end up making the future investigation that we're going to talk about a bit difficult to navigate the waters of. Chase...
To the future, Marty!
Because of Chase's PTSD, he was bipolar. He struggled with a lot of things, and it caused a lot of rocky times in the marriage. So
understandable.
Chase maintained a close relationship with his family, though, throughout his life. His mother, Stephanie Cadena, had been working at a family-owned auto repair company. Always had a strong bond with her son. Anytime Chase would have problems with Amanda, he would, you know, go get advice from his mom. Basically, he was a mama's boy, but they had a great relationship, you know. On the other hand,
mamas are awesome.
They are great.
Yeah.
They're so good. On the other hand,
if you're not mama's boy, your mom would probably fucking hate you.
And your mom might suck.
And you don't have a soul. Boy. Yeah.
Well, or your mom sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm mama's boy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Chase's relationship with his father, though, Corbin was not quite as great. Corbin was a truck driver, but he had moved in with Chase's family.
Wait, I'm sorry. Who was Corbin? I was thinking about how
dad.
Great my mom was. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Corbin was Chase's dad. So Corbin had been a truck driver, but then he had...
That was me doing a truck horn.
Oh. Wait, are you a truck?
Yeah. Hello? I'm a truck.
So Corbin had lost his job, and he then moved in with Chase and Amanda and their daughter, which, you know, then added financial issues to the whole mix. So.
Sure.
In March 2014, with financial stuff, plus another child and a change in Chase's work schedule, there was all sorts of things happening at the same time, and the two really just fought constantly.
Life, man.
Life happens. So in March of 2014,
stop happening.
The arguments between Chase and Amanda escalated, mostly due to the financial struggles. Seeking some space and time to cool off, Chase decided to spend a few nights at his mother's house. So then on Wednesday, March 26th, Amanda picked Chase up from his mom's house, and as they were driving, they got into another argument. This one became really bad to where and then one of them made a decision, most likely Chase. He worked at the Quick Trip.
All right.
Which I think is like a gas station.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. There's a, God damn it. There's like a convenience store where like the guy in Cleveland, gas station encounters, and he does other ones where it's Quick Trips. And it's a Quick Trip collaboration. Oh. And it shows like people stealing, and he's like narrating over top of them. But yeah, so that's why I knew Quick Trip.
Okay, so Chase worked at a Quick Trip.
They have security there where the guys will just be walking, and I'm like, it's probably somewhere overseas because it sounds like a foreign lady.
Uh-huh.
They're like, you and I'm not, should I not do the accent? Okay, sure, they'll just be, okay, I'm not, that's how she sounds, okay?
You're growing, okay? You grow with me.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
It's a foreign accent. Okay, yeah, like, hey, you in the red jacket.
Yeah.
Take the candy out of their back pocket. They always look around like, is that you, God? Yeah. And then they take it out and they'll like just put it somewhere and, you know, and then they'll like finish their trip and leave.
Oh, I want to be that security person.
And you just lock the door if you want and like people will be like, I don't have nothing.
Is there not somebody working there?
Yeah, there's people there. They're usually behind glass or something.
Okay.
You know, and they're like doing the check the counter.
Yeah.
But then like, you know, and they still go out in the store and stuff too. But yeah,
okay,
it's just so what, and they can do it too. Like even on the gas station counters, like it shows them like back there, like they'll be like checking cameras while they're checking out people, while the person's in the store, and they're just waiting for him to leave. And then he runs out afterwards. He goes, "Are you fucking stupid? You fucking stole a start?" Like, and they'll be like, "Wait here for the cops." And they always take off. It's called gas station counters, guys in Cleveland.
Okay.
And like, recently, before episodes, they'll be like, "Hey, don't forget to watch Kill Tony and Joe List." And like, he always like is plugging their podcasts and stuff.
Right.
I've been watching him for years, but yeah, sorry. Quick Trip collaborations. What's on there?
That reminds me though, because of the sheets over here.
Yeah.
On 7th, I was in there the other morning, and as I was getting ready to walk, as I was going to leave, I overhear this like announcement coming over, like apparently there were people outside loitering or whatever, and there's this thing that comes over and says like to the person wearing the whatever, like a jacket,
now, do they have an accent?
No.
Okay, so it might have just been store employees.
Well, like at Parkersburg.
Okay. If you're out there in some white hat, I need you to get going, dude.
It was like, hey.
Hey, y'all.
To the person out there in the green jacket, you got about 20 seconds to leave these premises
or
the police will be here. This is not a location where, and I was just like, what the fuck happened?
You drop on the floor?
Yeah. So, I guess that's what places are doing now.
Okay, all right.
Which, what a world.
Yeah, because that just eliminates more human contact.
But then as I left and I see the people they're talking to who had taken no, like, they, like, either they just didn't hear it or they definitely did and they were like, I don't fucking care.
They're probably in their own world.
They were still just sitting there.
Bopping
like,
to their own shit in their brain. Yeah.
So even after I was, like, pulling out and everything, I was kind of looking in my rearview mirror to see if they were gathering their shit up.
You offered them a ride. Like, hey, you got to go, bud? Come on.
Hey,
I'm leaving too.
So, yeah.
We're growing here, right?
Yeah.
We're growing here.
Yeah, I'd give them a ride.
Sure.
So I'm going right across the street, so if we're going right across the street, I'll take it.
That's actually
there.
The opposite way. Yeah. No, get in. I'm helping you.
Like, I work right there, so I'm going right there. But if you want to go across the street really quick. So anyways.
Okay, so yeah, I have heard of Quick Trip, the gas station.
So
where
get,
is this at? Did you say again? I'm
sorry? This was taking place in Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, so they get into this big fight, and then I think Chase basically says, you know what, just let me the fuck out here. At the Quick Trip that he works at.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. So, then Chase gets a hold of his buddy, Brad Clement. Brad lived over just about a mile away from the Quick Trip. So he goes and he picks Chase up.
That's not far.
That's not very far.
That's not far.
About a mile.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Vin Diesel could get there so quickly because he lives his life a quarter mile at a time.
So
he'd be like, boop, boop.
That's just four. Bloop, that's bloop. Just four steps for him.
Yeah, that's just four life livings.
Yeah, life livings. Four lives for Vin Diesel.
He'd barely be out of time talking about his family.
Oh, that's a good movie
family's
title.
Family's everything. And they're like, we're here. Look, he circles the block just to keep talking about family.
Family. Family.
We get it, Vin. We're here.
So, anyways.
Life livings.
Brad picks up Chase. They go back to Brad's house.
To watch Fast and Furious.
To watch Fast and Furious. Brad, Brad and Chase end up spending the evening talking. Chase, you know, talking about what all shit's going on in his marriage. Brad.
Bros just connected, man. Bros, that's fucking beautiful.
Bros being bros.
It's okay, guys. If you're listening and you got, like, go more find okay. a bro and talk to him.
More than okay.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this yesterday in a diversity meeting.
Okay.
How?
No big brag. This meeting you were leading. Don't act like you were just
there.
I
did have to lead part of it.
You were at a meeting.
Which I was not prepared to do because I was trying to do three other things and when they were like, hey Josh, can you lead the whatever, I was like, yeah.
And we talked about that. All this extra work, we broed it out about that, you know. I'm listening, Josh. I'm here for you,
but
buddy.
We were talking about women and how they, you know,
at the meeting you were talking about women.
Yeah, and how they don't get respect and everything. And I was like, hey, you know, we need to make
now let's start respecting dames, fellas.
It's like, look, these dames out here.
These broads aren't going anywhere.
These broads
they got
help.
In their head that they belong out though. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was saying, like, you know, bros.
You're a good guy for that. You've
bros
always
basically need to take some responsibility, too. Like, this isn't just.
You're definitely a good guy to lead that meeting.
Thanks, man.
Well, yeah, seriously. I mean, you used to have the shirt. You know,
oh,
like,
you're mean.
Dead
men
can't catcall.
You're meaning, like, I'm, like, a good choice for that.
Yeah.
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 You've always, like, I joke. And it's hopefully, it's obviously jokes.
Yeah.
When I say dames and broads, I mean, I can joke about them,
it's
too.
Just
you
jokes,
know?
Folks.
Just jokes. Oh, you're offended? Oh, you're offended by my jokes? Don't you feel stupid?
So, anyway. Anyways.
So, they're broing out.
So, they're broing
watching
out.
Watching Fast and Furious.
Now, so apparently, Brad even offers some to help mediate.
Okay.
And he starts texting Amanda on Chase's behalf, which
is... Okay, so is he texting him from Chase's phone, pretending to be Chase, or is he like, "Hey, this is Brad"? And I just
that's unclear, and I would like to know that too.
Yeah, I bet he's doing that as Brad, but that'd be a fucked up thing to do if you're like, "Hey, this is Chase," and
or it'd be really fucked up if you were like, "Yo, man, this is Brad. I'm over here with Chase. He's telling me like what a bitch you are."
Oh yeah, don't that's not.
But
a good...
then you're telling Chase like, "Yeah, man, like I'm you know
that's
like,
not a good mediator.
I'll try to help.
Mediators are important.
Yeah." So, but I don't know if you could trust Brad, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
So,
he does watch Fast and the Furious movies.
Allegedly.
I mean, I judge people that are like, oh, but God, Fast and Furious.
I would definitely
judge. I
joke
about them. I watch the movies, but I've never wanted to be like, holy fuck, Jason Statham's in the new one?
Yeah.
And, like, pass out and, like, regain consciousness. They're like, and The Rock. And I'm like, whoa! And I fucking die.
I've seen all of the first one, like, through bits and pieces here and there, and then I watched Hobbs and Shaw. That's it for me.
I found the DVD set for, like, $3, had the first seven.
Yeah.
So, of course, I bought it.
Yeah. Did you watch them?
Yeah.
Well, that's a problem. Yeah. That's a problem. So.
But I wasn't excited about it. It was like, what is hate watches?
Like, this is the job for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like, what is hate watches? Like, I hated myself.
I'm not a part of the family.
I hated Van Diesel. I hated
Van Diesel. I hate
Van Diesel.
There's
a truck driver from Georgia that I met once that called. He was like, I love Van Diesel.
Van Diesel.
Yeah, he was the dumbest son of a bitch.
I mean, I don't know if I could trust anybody to love Van Diesel.
And called him Van Diesel.
So,
you ever see that Van Diesel movie?
Brad owned his own home.
Okay.
He
none
like,
of our bullshit.
He was like an IT guy. He worked with computers and stuff.
Nerd.
At the time that Chase is over there, Brad has a little bit of a roofing project going on. He's having his roof repaired.
The roof is on.
Which, by the way, I don't think I've talked to you about this yet. Last Sunday, I wake up at 7 in the morning to, let's see if the mic picks this up. This is what I hear at 7 in the morning.
Oh, little drummer boy?
And I hear that until 6:30 in the later that evening.
Oh.
We got our roof fixed.
Oh, okay.
And
I remember seeing all the stuff out there for a while.
It was for, oh, yeah.
They really wanted to test that shit in the front yard. Like, oh,
man.
We gotta move it and then we can't touch it again for 3 months.
I was starting to wonder, like, do they think that that's the roof? Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, do they know it goes
after they know the roof. But from 7 a.m. until 6:30 p.m., it was not.
Yeah.
And because there was a couple times where you'd hear like 10-minute breaks, but you were like, with all of the work I'm hearing, I have 3 roofs now? Like, so.
Were you like saying stuff to them, like, but just to yourself?
No, I was kind of talking to myself at one point because I started to go crazy. And I could have left.
I was going to say, what are your options? Leave?
But like it's my. I've been bitching about this, but like, yeah, I could have left at any time.
Yeah, there's a whole world out there.
It was a Sunday. I don't like to leave on Sundays if I don't have to. But yeah, so like I would hear like a 5-10 minute break. Like I heard the first one happened around like 12:31.
Yeah.
And I'm like, with all of the noise I had heard.
Every time it starts,
I thought they were
worse.
Done. Yeah. Which I was like, that's very quick.
But
at the same time, it was nonstop. So then like, I'm like just starting to like ease back into like normal.
Yeah.
And then boom, there's something. But we have a roof now, so whatever. But anyways, moving on. This is what happens with the show.
Yeah.
Anyways, so he has this roofing project going on. He has people over there fixing. He has roofers over there, you know. And he had planned the following day to have a barbecue. So he was going to actually, you know.
I mean, he was like, hey, help me out with my roof, and, you know, I'll have a barbecue.
It could have been one of those deals.
I'll
get
you
like a case of beer.
Yeah, some hamburgers.
But he suggested to Chase that Chase, you know, invite Amanda and the kids over for the barbecue as well. So, you know, the barbecue's planned for Brad, the roofers apparently, and now Chase and his wife and kids. So the next
roofers
morning,
roofers know how to fucking party.
They can party, man.
If you're ever fucking around the roofer and they invite you somewhere, go with them. You're gonna be on the water. You're gonna be fucking partying.
My dad and my grandpa were roofers. Yeah. I can attest. They
Fuck
know how to have a good time.
They won't have a shirt on, no matter fucking what the temperature is.
Why would you?
Yeah.
You're just, a roof.
Just to be able to work on a roof all day.
Yeah.
And like, not if I got up on a roof, I couldn't be. Blah, 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 blah. I'd be like.
I was just. So like when I was a kid, I used to go with my dad to a lot of like construction projects and stuff. And I would like kind of help with stuff, which is how I broke my wrist.
Uh-huh.
But like I'd been up on roofs before and like, you know, helped carry shingles over and stuff.
You were too young to be scared probably.
Well, so then like 5 years ago, something like that, my grandpa got a hold of me and said, and asked if, he said he needed like some stuff on his roof patched, like with tar.
Uh-huh. You're like, good luck! Hang up, you thought that was a conversation.
Yeah, I'm like, that sucks.
Why are you calling me? I don't give a fuck about
that. Sounds shitty. Like, good update, grandpa. But yeah, so he's like, you know, I can't really go up there anymore. Yeah. Would you go up and do it? And I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, whatever. I've been on roofs before.
Yeah.
Dude, I got up on that roof and I looked down. My whole attitude about the situation changed. I was like, holy shit.
I'd be belly crawling.
Dude, I pretty much was, like, everywhere I was going. And then, like, I didn't realize, like, how steep his roof was, like, on the one side. Because his roof's weird. It goes, like, kind of level.
It's different when you're on the ground looking up.
Well, part of it goes kind of level. Uh-huh. And then the half that you can kind of see from the road is just, like, a straight drop almost.
Yeah.
So as I, like, go over that to try to go down to... I was like, how the fuck am I supposed to do this? So...
Well, you probably had a shirt on, and I got to imagine that probably threw off your back. That's why
I
they took your shirt off.
That was my mistake. Yeah. I have my shirt on.
Damn it. You probably had 2 shirts on, knowing you.
I need to go back. I need to go try it again. Anyway.
Yeah, roofers are nuts.
Yeah,
party
so
with them.
The next morning, Brad left the house to deliver a computer to a client, and he left Chase there so he could, you know, just chill. Now, this part is concerning.
Okay.
Apparently, in an effort to keep Chase at Brad's house, like, so he wouldn't, you know, wander off or whatever, Brad took Chase's cell phone.
What? Is he a dog? Did he transfer to a dog for this part of the story?
Yeah, did I not mention that?
Is he a toddler now? Like, I don't understand.
Brad's been a dog, or Chase has been a dog this whole time.
A toddler dog this whole time.
Yeah, so
he
Brad...
took his cell phone. He can still leave without a cell phone.
Well, so he took his cell phone, which was also, and I used to have one of these, it was like the wallet case.
Okay, yeah.
So he takes that, too. So he has Chase's, like, wallet and his phone. So, like...
Okay, that's fucked up.
That's a little fucked up, right? He says he did this because that would prevent Chase from leaving because he wouldn't have any way to, like, communicate with anybody. So...
Why didn't he want him to leave? Just because he was fighting with his wife?
Yeah, like...
So there's something else going on?
Right. So, Brad remembers the day that Chase went missing as just a regular day. He says he borrowed Chase's phone to keep him from leaving the house.
Why did he just take him with him? I mean, obviously, there's probably... I'm just poking holes in a fucking story that's fucking full of holes anyway, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, like, if you're that concerned, take him fucking with
just
you.
Just take Chase with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Brad runs some errands.
But who's my little assistant today?
You want to go to the park?
I want to be an assistant.
Yeah, you want to go to the park?
You want
to
set up front?
You
want to set up front? I do want to set up front.
Then you take him to the vet.
Yeah. Oh.
They never see it coming.
Nope.
So
he's a dog.
He takes the phone. He leaves the house. He runs some errands, and then he drops off his computer to a customer. So then he gets back home. He says,
"Hey,
Chase,
boy."
You're gonna get Beasley all.
Oh shit!
He's like, we're going.
He Kool-Aid Man's through the door. Oh yeah!
He's like, we're going to the park.
Oh, don't say it that loud.
I got this picture the other day. When.
Oh.
He usually like, scratches at the door.
Yeah.
But he was just sitting out there like, because he's such a good boy.
Yeah.
He's a good boy.
He so he's just sitting, that's a picture of him.
Yeah.
There's a door right to the left of me, and he's just sitting on the other side, staring at the door, just waiting.
Because he could hear me and, it was me and Danielle were in here, and he could hear us talking. And so he's just, hey, guys, hey.
I'm here.
I'm here.
If you guys,
but he was being so
door,
quiet. He wasn't, like, barking. He wasn't scratching or anything.
He's
so,
a good boy.
So Chase gets back from doing this, and he says Brad was still there. But then he said he had to leave again to grab some groceries for the barbecue.
So more errands outside of the errands that he had to leave for the first time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, so let me see if I want to where I want to kind of go with this before I give away anything. So later Brad would show up on an episode of Nancy Grace's podcast.
I'm done.
Which I can't imagine anybody listens to this podcast or can stand it, but like in this case...
I still get mad if I think about Nancy. And I've been thinking about Nancy because Natalie Grace, like someone like Nancy Grace.
Yeah.
And I think about Nancy Grace and it's just fucking awful.
Yeah. So in this case, it's kind of
works. My baby twins.
Because of her show, things happen. But on this episode, this happens later, you know, he says that him and Chase, the night he picked Chase up and Chase stayed over... They smoked a little weed, drank a little booze.
Yeah. Country boys can't survive.
Yeah. They can run a trout line.
Yeah.
He also mentions, just offhandedly, that Chase was looking for some type of painkiller known as Roxy.
I don't know what that is either.
Brad says he doesn't know what those pills
are.
Is
that where you take like an Oxy and drop it in a Rockstar energy drink?
Probably.
And then butt chug it.
Roxy.
Then you butt chug it.
He says he doesn't know what those are, but he did give Chase some money.
Butt chug.
To get them, if he wanted them.
Then you butt chug them.
Quit saying butt chug.
Chug them with your butt.
Just quit saying.
Okay.
So, now, again, like I said, you know, Brad was having some work done on his
roof.
His roof. He had a company called Ducks Roofing. The owner is Brandon Duck.
Oh, all
so
right.
Ducks Roofing.
Fucking cool guy. Doesn't own a shirt.
Yeah, you know, definitely not. So,
I feel like he probably walks around a lot in flip-flops, too. Like, when he's not on the roof, he's like, I'm not wearing boots.
Fuck no.
Yeah,
fuck no. I'm not doing my work home with
him. Shirts off, fucking flip-flops.
He doesn't even have a roof. Because he's not.
He's a, no.
Yeah. I ain't bringing my work
or
home.
Or his all roof.
Or
his floor's a roof.
His walls are roof.
Hell yeah.
So Brandon Duck, the owner of Duck's Roofing, he remembers him and his employees were there pretty much the whole day, interacted with Brad throughout the day.
Because that's quack-breaking work.
It is, yeah.
Instead of back-breaking, quack.
Yeah, I got you.
Because of Duck.
Uh-huh.
That's his name.
Yeah.
And the name of the company.
Right. Bingo, bingo.
Yeah, that's advertised. That's free. If you're listening right
that's
now,
free advertising. In Georgia.
Sure, we're involved in that weird story, but we do quack-breaking work.
So, according to Brad, he gets back from the store. He starts prepping for the cookout. And while he's doing this and trying to start...
He probably put a little apron on, put on some music.
Kiss the cook.
kiss the cook!
So, he says that while he was trying to get the grill lit, he accidentally started a fire in his backyard.
Whoops!
Whoopsie!
Yeah, did I do that?
What a shitty barbecue grill cook guy.
I know.
So he says that he puts out the flames in the backyard, and then he goes inside to talk to Chase, you know, because he's going to be like, you can't believe what I just did, bruh. And he says that's when he figured out that his friend had vanished. So
not as soon as he gets home or anything like that. He's just okay.
He's just coming in.
Yep.
He's got, you know, he getting comes in. He says Chase is there. And then he's like, oh, shit, I didn't grab the groceries for the barbecue, which was, like, the big thing I'm doing today, and I was already out once, but I'm going to go get them again.
Still had his phone, right?
So keep that in mind.
Okay, well, it's in mind.
So, you know, then he says he comes back with the groceries. He's got, you know, he's got it tucked in.
Uh-huh.
He goes out, tries to,
he's a man, so he's carrying, like, 9 bags at once. He's not making 2 trips.
Yeah.
There's, like, a pack of water on his back.
Yeah. Oh, you're describing me right now.
Stop, I'm
will
describing
not.
Myself.
Yeah,
no.
I will not make
He'll
more.
He'll stay in the car, but just leave that in the car until next time I'm out here.
Till the next day's trip. So
it's like roofing material. It just sits out
it
there.
It sits out there for months. So, but, you know, then he comes back. He apparently starts a fire in his backyard. And then he goes in to laugh about it with Chase.
He's like, hey, that Billy Joel song, I didn't start the fire. Ah, I'm sorry,
I
did.
I sure as shit did. So then, but Chase is gone.
Oh.
So this was on March 27, 2014. So Brad returns home. He finds Chase is missing. Then he says... And this is recorded. This voicemail is recorded. He calls and leaves a voicemail for Chase.
Oh.
And it says like, hey man,
I got your phone in my hand, but I wanted to call you anyway.
See, there's never any clarification if did he give Chase his phone back or not. Like one hand he says he took it with him earlier in the day. Then there's no indication whether he says he ever gave it back to him or not. But the voicemail, he's basically like, hey, man, I just got back, and the roofer said that you left a couple hours ago just calling to see what was up, and that's the voicemail. So that would mean Chase had gone missing, like, during the day. Like, he'd left a couple hours earlier in the day.
How long was that grocery trip?
So that's another thing. So if he comes back from the running
day. If I spent 2 hours at Kroger,
yeah,
I better be working there.
So he had supposedly left
in
the morning.
I better be my shift for the day.
He supposedly left in the morning. Ran some errands, dropped off a computer to a customer, came home, Chase was there,
went out
to
run more
again
errands.
To get groceries. So now apparently
he's an errand.
But he's trying to say that was 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like we're into like evening now almost.
Yeah.
So
if he's so concerned about his friend not leaving, why is he not home at all?
Yeah.
Like,
so another thing is that the roofers, so Brandon Duck, he had at least 2 coworkers with him. None of them remember seeing Chase at all. Not in the morning, not that morning, not that afternoon, not leaving the home. They don't remember Chase being there.
And I bet those Duck guys thought something was a little bit foul.
It's a pretty good one. I like that one. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Those are ducks.
That one got a quack out of me.
All right, good.
That one quacked me
out.
That
one footed the bill.
Oh. Brad would later say that hearing that Chase had left from his roof was just simple miscommunication on his part. So, you know.
He hears so many voices.
Yeah.
How is that?
So,
no, what I said was we're almost done. Oh, you didn't say Brad said that he would leave, or Chase was going to leave and he'd be back. Didn't know he'd be back. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I guess I could have heard that wrong. So
I don't speak duck. You know, that's the problem. There's a language barrier.
Now, there's also a little bit of time. So before Brad called and left that voicemail on Chase's phone, somehow the information had already made its way to Chase's family. Nobody really knows how these events occurred, but, Brad, he says that he thought Amanda had picked up Chase while he was in the backyard getting the grill ready, is what he thought had happened. Chase's family had started talking about Chase being missing before Brad even called and left a voicemail. So... Chase's mom, Stephanie, called Brad about 15 minutes before Brad had called and left that voicemail for Chase. She was already worried because Chase hadn't made it home with Amanda the night before. So they all start trying to figure out where Chase could be. Brad mentioned seeing Chase that afternoon. Everybody starts reaching out to Chase's friends and contacts, but no one knows where he is. So it seems like he just vanished without a trace. But... like, you would think Brad would have left on the voicemail as well. Like, hey, and I just talked to your mom. She's worried about you.
Yeah, everybody's worried.
But, you know. So, there's a lot of fishy...
Yeah, they were trying to call and text him, and fucking fuckhead had his phone.
Yeah. So...
was the phone not on? Would he... I mean, I feel like this Brad guy is probably knee-deep in it. or neck deep in it. But, like, if he is telling the truth, like, was the phone just off? Or if it was on, I'm sure his mom and wife and more people are probably calling and texting him.
Yeah, so is he just ignoring him? Yeah. If he has his phone during some of this, then. So, the police are called. But, of course, the police, they just assume, you know, Chase just left on his own.
They wreck in front of the car, in front of the house. They both pull up. They get out, run around their car, get back in, and just take off. Yep, exactly.
So,
they're like, thanks, cops!
The investigation ended up being split between Cherokee County, where Chase lived, and Cobb County.
They love working together, mm-hmm. from what I've seen.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know what kind of cops work for Cobb County.
Oh, the big boss man.
Yeah, so who knows what he was up to at the time.
Oh, no doubt.
So even though Chase...
Cobb County, Georgia.
So later, Brad would make statements about how Chase had told him that he was thinking about just leaving. That he was thinking about just running away. Because that's what, you know, grown men say things like that to each other. Like,
sure.
I'm just going to take some of my favorite things, and I'm running away from
here. That's all I need is this lamp and this chair and this thermos. And that's it. Yeah. Jerk reference! Bada bing! If I got it wrong, that's not the exact line.
It was good enough.
I got you.
I knew what you were doing.
You LOL'd.
So, his debit card was used, was last used the night before he disappeared, and his phone was used the day he disappeared. So, as more time passed, it became clear that something was off about Chase's disappearance. His family and friends were left worried and confused.
Hold on, we really skipped over something.
Okay.
How was the barbecue?
Right. Did it still go off?
Yeah. Like,
did the roofers get to eat?
Did the fire, like, ruin the grill?
Well, it's kind of convenient, like, that a fire would happen, because then that's probably going to leave, like, the ground all marked up, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's convenient.
Yeah, but it was probably just a little fire from a grill.
You would think. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just a... What kind of... You couldn't really start
a fire. I actually started a fire in this burn barrel here. I don't know what that 200-pound...
This is why I use my grill.
Yeah. So,
still don't really know about Chase's cell phone. Just, like, there's really no... We don't know what happened to it. Like, to this day, nobody really knows where the... Or I don't think anybody knows where the phone is.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about that. There's rumors that Amanda might have it, at some point Brad had the phone, apparently.
Yeah.
So
by his own admission.
So Brad wasn't the only one that started getting some suspicion thrown his way. Chase's wife Amanda became the target of some of that suspicion because of some conflicting statements she made about the last time she saw him.
Yeah. And anytime someone goes missing, that's where they start.
Yeah.
They start with, like, who you're closest with.
So, there was times when she said that she dropped Brad or Chase off at Quick Trip. There's other times where she said she dropped Chase off at Brad's house. In a recorded phone call,
Quick Trip collaboration.
Amanda is heard talking about how people are looking at her suspiciously and claims that she would take a lie detector. You know, or anything else. It was immediately, I can't believe all these people would think. Like,
yeah.
I get that if something like this is happening, you're not, like, the worst part of it is probably how many people start pointing the finger at you if you're not involved at all. But, like, now's not the time to make this about you.
Yeah, I would just be like, listen, just find them.
Yeah, like, we'll figure it out.
It wasn't me, but what it just
if you want to think
them.
It was me, that's fine, but, like, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
So, Amanda also faced scrutiny from Brad himself. Back to Brad's interview with Nancy Grace, he claims that Amanda approached him the day after Chase went missing.
Now, Brad, isn't it true that you said that Amanda approached you? Go on.
He says that the day after Chase goes missing, he says that Amanda approached him asking for weed and maybe even flirted with him a little bit.
Oh.
He said it was like...
Well, you get more bees with the honey? Is that flies?
Yeah, you get,
is it bees or flies, honey, and vinegar?
You get more,
how do you get weed? So can I buy weed with vinegar?
You get more bees with honey, sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, I can buy weed with honey.
I think that's what that means. Or
you
bees?
Get more flies with...
Or bees make weed?
How many flies do you have to kill?
Wait, flies or bees?
If I eat flies, I'll get high?
Yes.
That's why they call him Buzzin'.
There you go.
Okay, go on.
We solved that
one. Okay.
So, to all the people out there listening, do not eat flies or bees. I think you'll get high. You might get high. I don't fucking. They'll sting the shit out of you.
Yeah. Flies so, don't sting you.
No, but that's probably bees. Not good for you. Bees.
Yeah.
I got stung by a bee in my mouth.
Bee gonna sting you.
Anyways. So, during the interview, he also says that, you know, he thinks that Amanda was trying to get back at Chase for running away by flirting with Brad.
Well, he is a computer IT guy, so yeah. He probably just...
who clearly knows how to cook.
Yeah.
Who knows how to grill out. He also
he's friends with roofers.
He also mentioned something about Amanda's mother growing weed and, like, Amanda being involved in that, but he really wouldn't go into much detail. He's just like, yeah, Amanda this and Amanda that, and, you know.
I mean, it's like he's trying to avert attention. And...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, during a phone conversation with
Hey, Brad, when you point one finger... You got three more pointing right back at you.
Yeah. And then there's a thumb out there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to say four because the thumb's not pointing at you.
But the thumb's doing something.
Yeah, and then you definitely got three fingers pointing right back at you.
The thumb's just...
That's when I point like this.
The thumb's just keeping an eye on it.
Yep. Pew-pew.
So, pew-pew-pew. So, Amanda's not really helping herself, though, because during a phone conversation with a representative from a veterans group, who would launch a search for Chase. Amanda would dispute the claims made by Brad and others. So here is that recorded phone conversation for you to listen to and make your own make your own judgments.
This is Amanda.
Yeah.
And play.
Drugs have not ever been my thing. Chase has struggled with them. And it has been something that we struggled with for a long time. But that's not my thing. And... people are just making me out to be this big drug person. And it's just, that's one of the reasons I shut down from everybody, is because everybody started making false accusations and threatening with defects and all of this stuff. And I was like, okay, well, apparently people are manipulating and twisting me and twisting my words and twisting Chase's problems to make them my problems. Because I was told that you said that the drugs were all me and that Chase is a golden boy. And that I'm the one that had problems with them. And that's just so far from the truth. The furthest thing from the truth. And
I'm so glad that you're laying these out on the table, that you're being straight with me on this. This is why I need you to do, because I need to hear what's coming from you and you need to hear what's coming from me. This is what I was told. Chase's drug of choice is heroin. He did heroin as a teenager.
Chase's drug of choice was not heroin. It was pot. But he struggled with it when he was younger. And he's struggled with it one time since we've gotten married on one occasion.
So, like,
heroin?
It seems like she's saying that Chase had maybe some issues with heroin when he was younger, and then maybe once during their marriage. But she also could be saying that, because she says his drug of choice was weed.
Yeah.
So she could also be saying that maybe weed was, he had issues with it as a child, as younger. And then I don't know what she's really saying there. But like, she also goes out of her way to, you know.
That's the furthest thing from the truth.
She says people are making up defects. Which is not a thing.
People are misremembering.
She also says during the beginning of that, that she has closed herself off from everyone. So initially, during the first few weeks after Chase's disappearance, she was really actively involved in the case to look for him. She was reaching out to anyone and everyone for help. As time passed, though, she began to withdraw and eventually made the decision to leave Georgia altogether and cut off contact with everybody. One of the reasons for this change was most likely because of a man named Paul Libri. Paul was a private investigator based in Georgia who had become involved in the search for Chase back in 2014.
Undercover dick!
He had gained Amanda's trust and was likely hired by her to assist in finding her missing husband. Unbeknownst to Amanda, though, Paul was in a little bit of legal trouble of his own.
Oh, okay.
He had been charged with impersonating a police officer in a separate case.
Oh, should I not do that? Is that against the law?
It is.
Sam, oh, it is? Well, as a cop, you can't.
Since I'm not a cop, I wouldn't know that, right? Yeah. So, in reality, this is on you.
This is,
I think. You're under arrest.
You are under arrest.
That's what, if you ever, if the cops.
What's that over there? Takes off running.
That's a life hack for all of you out there. If you're ever about to be arrested, you just turn around and try to arrest the cops.
I'm arrested? You're arrested.
Yeah. So.
I'm a sovereign citizen.
Exactly.
Pal.
Spell it.
I-T.
Spell sovereign.
Oh, fuck. S-O-L-V-E-R-N.
No.
You don't even know.
No, that's definitely not right.
Okay.
There's a, you threw an L in there?
Yeah, is there not a silent L?
Oh, you can't just.
I just took the L, dude.
You can't just throw silent letters in.
Citizen, I think I can spell. C-I-T-I-Z-E-N?
Yeah, you got that one.
All right.
Sovereign, I'm pretty sure, is S-O-V-E-R-E-I-G-N.
There's no L?
No.
Oh.
It's not solver.
It's silent!
You can't just throw silent letters in.
Why can't you? They're silent.
Okay, you can. You got
is
me there.
Is there a Z in silent?
It's A, B, C, D,
I want to run the most fucking barbaric spelling bee ever. She's like, spell kite, like C-I-T-E. I'm like, actually, it's K-R-K-I-T-E. I'm like, actually, it's K-J-I-T-E.
Yeah, it's kite.
And every time I'm like, it's silent, bitch!
We did watch, the other night we watched Bad Words. Have you ever watched that with Jason Bateman? Where he finds the loophole and enters the spelling bee competition?
What?
It's all on Netflix, I think. Watch it.
Okay.
I've watched it a lot. I love it so much.
Spelling bees, man. I would spell words wrong.
My mouth is bleeding.
Oh, shit.
What did you do to me?
That was a rough kiss when I walked in, okay? I mean, we both kind of went for it. No, I don't know. You laughed too hard. I saw that.
You didn't have to headbutt me.
All right. Do you want to take a quick pause?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, spelling bees in school. I would spell the word wrong first round.
Because you didn't want to be in it?
I didn't want to spell one off. I didn't want to not. Like, if I knew the word, I would spell it wrong just in case the next word I didn't know, and I would spell it wrong legitimately. So in my head.
What?
Bro, I'm trying to grow here, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not
growing here.
I'm not judging.
You are. That was such a judgment, like, scoff.
I just really.
Man, you laughed so hard at me, you were bleeding.
I bit my fucking lip.
Oh, because you wanted to say something to me.
Yeah, I loved.
Just let him finish. You're biting your lip. He's going to be done any second,
yeah,
this stupid motherfucker. It's the monster.
Yeah, I always wanted to win one so bad.
Oh.
And I still remember the. One of the years I was like really close to winning, and then the word foreign.
And that was foreign to you.
It was foreign to me.
F O R I E G N?
Other way.
N G I O R F?
F O R E I G N.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Is there an L in that?
No.
I'm just going to put an L in everything.
You might as well.
I feel like an L could go in pretty much an L or.
Well, English language allowing silent letters.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest shit ever. Like, you could just put a letter in anything.
And that whole, like, George Carlin bit where he's, like, talking about, like, words, like, bet. And, there was something where, like, he, like, would flip the letters around. Have you seen that from one of his old stand-ups?
Probably.
And it's basically, like, a word that should be pronounced like this, but for whatever reason, they pronounce it like that. And it's just words, man.
Yeah, words. Words are fun. But bad words. Jason Bateman's character is, like, on the surface... the worst human being alive.
That's what he's good at, I feel.
There's all
who things. Else is in it?
Catherine Hahn. She was in Step Brothers. She was the
horny.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, she's in it.
Okay.
There's a couple people you'll notice, like you'll recognize, but it's really.
Is David Keith or Keith David?
No,
in
neither
it?
Of them make
nope.
an appearance.
Move
it's
on.
Really, it's
nope.
fucking
Move
hilarious,
on.
Though.
No, I'll watch it. Bad words.
Yeah. So, where are we at here?
Oh, no.
This episode. People that are, like, really into true crime stuff, like, have to... Like, they don't listen to us.
No.
But they try, I think, sometimes. And they have to hate us.
Yeah.
Because...
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I mean, I'm...
I like it.
I don't hear you apologize.
Okay.
Like, but...
Stephanie, sorry, is in a sack.
I listen to so many true crime podcasts or shows or whatever, and they just go right through the story.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that was... You know, I'm glad I get that information.
We've been talking about Fast and Furious.
Like I always describe it to people. Like, so say you're, like, in a room with just, like, your buddies, and a couple of them start talking about, like... And someone's like, oh, shit, did you hear about this? And they start telling you about their true crime thing. I was like, that's what our show is.
Yeah.
And I was like, everybody's throwing in
imagine having
shit.
A friend.
Imagine having friends.
Just imagine it for a second.
So,
close your eyes, loser. I'm taking you on a ride. Say you have friends.
So, yeah, the private eye.
Yeah, that guy.
So,
how did we get from that to spelling bees?
Because we started with pretending to be a cop. So he was a.
That doesn't make sense. I don't know. Go on. I'm sorry.
I don't fucking know. Because you said you were a sovereign citizen, and I tried.
Oh, yeah, that was okay.
So.
First off, I am a sovereign citizen.
Well, prove
extra
it.
L.
Prove it. So, yeah, he was charged with impersonating a police officer in a separate case, which did lead to his conviction and imprisonment.
Oh.
So, not a lot of investigating going to be able
then
to happen.
Then he impersonated
a prisoner.
Show.
Yeah, he did a really good job with that one. So
spot on.
After this, she pretty much has retreated from the public eye. She stopped speaking to the media. She ended up moving to Iowa with her daughters, which that, of course, the sudden move, of course, raised eyebrows,
yeah,
too.
How are you giving up that quick?
Then,
also, what's sudden? Do you know? Does it say, like, 6 months?
It would have been weeks after. So
oh,
it,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was doing media. Like,
yeah.
Parents, like, she was, you know. But she was active in the investigation and looking for Brad or looking for Chase. But then you can kind of understand how at some point you just have to be like,
either he doesn't want to come back.
They
or
were also,
he's
they
gone.
Had so many problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
if something bad did happen to him and she's not involved, I could be like, well, something bad happened. Either something bad happened or he doesn't want to be here.
Yeah.
Either way, like,
yeah.
I'm on my own.
So initially, Brad wasn't really a suspect. He was cooperating. He, you know. Really, the police just kind of thought Chase had left.
People
on
just
own.
Kept kissing him because he wouldn't take the apron off.
Yeah, yeah, they're like, well, as long as you have the apron on. So, Brad at one point, though, was asked to take a polygraph test, and he said no.
I don't think I would take a polygraph test, even if I 100% knew I wasn't involved, didn't know anything about it.
Everyone, you know, polygraph tests aren't reliable.
My brain
well, also
I'd admit,
like,
to killing like Hitler, which I don't know that why would that be bad. I don't think they put me in jail for
I'm
that.
I'm going to prison for that.
Hitler,
I was,
you know,
negative 30 some years old, I think.
It is Hitler.
I don't know how pie works.
I'm so dumb.
So yeah, like, I also, like, anytime I go, I would assume my anxiety would be through the roof, even if I was completely innocent, because
yeah.
I have social anxiety.
Is your name Josh? Like, fuck, I think, yeah.
I don't fucking know. People used to call me Cash.
They call me Cash. Yeah. I'm like, that's just Josh.
Now they're like, oh, Cash, huh? So why are you trying to have a fake name? I don't. Yes, wrestle. Oh, you're
challenging me? Is that a threat?
So,
all right, right now, is wrestling real? Like, oh, goddamn. There's nuance, and, like, shades of gray. And, like, it's not fake. I mean, I would never call it fake.
They
would
have shot me.
What do you mean by real? Like, real? Like, what's that even mean?
So, so anytime somebody refuses one, though, like, everybody always is like, well, that means they're guilty.
Yeah.
It might not.
Yeah.
Like, it could just mean that you're just like, I'm not risking this.
I don't trust nobody.
Putting more shit on me.
Yeah.
So, as I always say on this podcast, if there's any legal issues, lawyer up. Don't fucking talk to the cops. Get a lawyer. I don't, like, it blows my mind. I know I say this all the time, but it blows my mind watching these police interrogation videos. And the people that are guilty as shit think that they're going to talk themselves out of it. You're not.
Yeah.
You're not going to get out of this.
Watching a lot of Dateline, seeing a lot of those, yeah.
Just say, I want a lawyer, I'm not talking. And then let it go from there.
Oh, there's one guy on a Dateline, he killed this lady, and he was like, I was just talking to my friend, oh, this would be pretty good for a comedy sketch routine. They're like, they went to the detective. He's like, yeah, I've never heard that in an interview ever.
Jesus,
like, yeah, someone
Christ.
Died, but I mean, after the fact, it could be kind of funny.
I can see how I could make this funny.
Yeah.
You bring David Spade into this. Maybe Chris Kattan.
Like, Gear plays me, obviously.
Chris Kattan would be the woman.
Yeah.
I think we put a dress on Chris Kattan because
people
think
Richard
that's
Gere?
Hilarious. So, So,
yeah, lawyer up. Don't fucking.
But he just turned down the opportunity to
podcast. No, thanks.
No, thank you.
I appreciate it. I'm cooking.
Yeah, that's a great offer.
Yeah.
I'm cooking. I have a fire to
do. Oh, man. I'm so busy. Errands, fires.
So now word started to spread, though, that Brad had a dumpster out in front of his house at the time that Chase went disappearing because of the work that was being done.
Okay.
The roof.
Yeah.
So, you know, Chase's friends and family, they start pressuring the cops to look into that. Now, the dumpster, of course, wouldn't still be in front of Brad's house by then, but the police try to track down...
I'm sure those ducks kept...
They know where they ran from.
Yeah, they know where whatever. And what number it was.
So
everything.
The police look into it, but unfortunately, they realize they checked the wrong dumpster at a local landfill. By the time they caught their mistake, they told Chase's family that it was just going to be too expensive to go back and look for the
crew. Oh, okay. They probably understood that.
They said that, you know, it's going to cost us upwards of like 7 digits just to go back and look. And, you know, recession and Obama and Biden, you know, just things are happening right now. We're not going to be able to do it. So
this was 2014. Like, what's Biden have to do with it?
You know,
what?
You know how he is. So, yeah. So, once again,
the vice president,
amazing police work. And like I said, initially, Brad was not really a suspect. There was the dumpster thing. There was his alibi kind of kept changing. Just little pieces of it would change here and there. He did have a lot of public backlash, though, because people just could kind of be like, dude, you're clearly involved in this.
He turned down the polygraph.
He ended up moving out of the area, though. So he said he couldn't take it anymore. So he moves out of the area and pretty much disappeared. And then he came back around for the Nancy Grace interviews, where he kind of stepped back out of the public eye. So
you don't turn down a Nancy Grace interview.
No.
I mean, I do.
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know she was still alive, honestly.
Me not watching her for the last however many years I haven't had cable. And I didn't want to watch her before, but every now and then it would just fall on that channel.
Well, it'll still, like, when I'm watching, like, true crime stuff on YouTube, they'll show clips of her show on Shudder.
Not the good Shudder, like, where you watch your horror movies.
Yeah, the bad Shudder.
Yeah.
So, you know, so after Chase's disappearance, Amanda, his wife, again, she moved out of Georgia with the kids.
Iowa.
This was about so you asked earlier, like, well, how long? It was about a year after Chase went missing. So, she really just didn't think it was a good environment for, like, with everybody kind of, like, throwing suspicions at her. She thought it was probably not the best thing for her kids to grow up around either. So she moves to Iowa. She actually moved in with Chase's father, Corbin, who had been living with them.
Okay, I was wondering about that. What about the father?
So they actually they lived together.
Okay.
They moved in. She wanted the kids to stay close to their grandpa. So
she had the apple. Now she wanted the tree.
Maybe.
Okay.
So,
lead me down, Daddy.
Chase's mom, Stephanie, she remained in Georgia and remained, like, the most vocal proponent of Chase throughout the years.
He was a mama boy.
Yeah.
She loved her boy.
At first, there was a lot of support from the online community in helping find Chase. But, of course, bickering and infighting between the groups led to just nothing really happening.
And plus, as the time goes on, you get more cases.
Other things happen. So even Chase's father...
You see something shiny, and you're just like, what's that?
Even Chase's father, Corbin, caused a little bit of controversy when he told the members of an online community to stop posting about Chase and imply that Chase would never be found, which I think is more so just like maybe the way he was dealing with it.
Yeah.
Like, Chase is fucking...
It's probably hard for him to see stuff about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's usually how I deal with things. Like, if I don't want to...
It's been a year or so. If Chase is going to be found, he's going to be found.
Yeah.
Like, if he wanted to be found, he would be.
Yeah.
And if something happened to him...
He's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah.
So just fucking quit reminding me about it every day. So veterans groups continue to do searches in the area around Cobb and Cherokee counties. Never really turned up anything. Chase was a 6'2" dude. He weighed about 175 pounds at the time of his disappearance. Dark hair, multiple tattoos. He had tattoos on his chest, including two roses. His last name was tattooed along the top of his back. The phrase "Never Depart 2007-2010 was on his right forearm. I'm assuming that's probably something military related.
Yeah, maybe when he did depart, but he's like, I'm never really leaving this place.
Then he had other tattoos and stuff. He was last seen wearing his a red Quick Trip sweatshirt and khaki pants. So for a while, anyone that would see an individual matching that description could call a tip line set up by the Cobb County Police Department to report info to the cold case unit and earn themselves a $5,000 reward if it led to the discovery of Chase. But then, in 2017, That all changed.
But wait, there's more.
With no answers for over 3 years, the Chase Masner case had gone cold with nothing but speculation and theories to go on. It was Brad's decision to go on Nancy Grace's show that led to more questions, which ultimately led to more answers. So statements made by Brad on the show piqued the interest of investigators due to the conflicting nature with earlier statements he had made.
Oh, I'm buckling up, baby. Let's go. Brad fucked himself?
There were several key details that were the complete opposite
this
of what he said.
This fucking maniac. He contacted the show to go back on. That's fucking wild, man.
So, according to, so there were...
I would have got away with it if it wasn't for my own self.
There were different things that he said during the, you know, statements to police, according to Cobb County, former Cobb County Police Detective Chris Twiggs, who had been involved with the original investigation. With the case...
Former, so are you saying he branched out to something else? Did he leave? He left?
Uh-huh.
Barked up another tree?
Yep.
Okay.
You got any more?
Not right now. Let's keep going, though.
All right. So,
Twig jokes, because that was his name.
I got you. All right. Yeah.
Would you expect anything less?
That was a little. I don't know about that one.
You really had to lumber through that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go on. Your mouth's bleeding more. You just every time you just bite your mouth.
You just had him out of the cheek. So, with the case now re-energized, Twigs consulted with the cold case unit.
You know what a group of twigs would be called. Okay. I don't want to say. I can't say it. I can't.
Yeah, don't even.
But that's what it used to be called.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
How do I put up with
you? How do you?
So he gets a hold of Cobb County District Attorney, cold case investigator Guy Watkins. And Guy does a, he searches Clement's property.
Hey, Guy.
Brad's property.
Yeah. Hey, Guy.
So he learns that Brad had sold the house. He gets the new permit, the new owners to give him permission to search the home with a cadaver dog, which alerted the
public. How excited would that be as a homeowner? You would tell everyone. They fucking contacted me. They're coming over with a cadaver dog.
How
I'm going to have a barbecue. Come on over.
How excited would it be for the cadaver dog? Oh, ooh, I get to go do something.
Oh, yeah. I'm a good boy.
I'm a good boy. So that they were... It alerted the dogs alerted that the possible scent of human remains were near the back porch.
Mm.
Masner's so Chase's skeletonized remains with the same red top his wife said he was wearing when she last saw him were found wrapped in plastic.
What? Right there at the house?
That were secured with duct tape. The remains, though, were so decomposed that even extensive forensic testing, including an examination by a forensic anthropologist at the Mayo Clinic, were unable to discern a cause or manner of death.
Well, maybe next time go to the Miracle Whip Clinic. I'm just saying.
That was something.
I'm just saying.
Uh-huh. Well, you keep saying it. So investigators then confronted Brad about the remains. He insisted that he was being set up.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Like you are.
Oh, yeah.
He still, though, agreed to turn himself into police. But since he's a lying liar, he made a run for it. For about a week, nobody knew where he went. They couldn't find him. Police and the media reached out to his family. They didn't have any more of a clue than the police did. Then on August 11, 2017, after a week on the run, Brad was captured in DeKalb County, Georgia, just east of Atlanta. The white van that Brad had...
A fucking week and he didn't make it out of Georgia?
Didn't even make
Maybe
it out of Georgia.
Maybe go a little further, Brad. Yeah.
What are you doing?
A fucking week!
Yeah. So the white van that Brad had run away in was found in the parking lot of a Publix. Photographers were there to capture a photo of Brad, handcuffed, laying belly down in the concrete parking lot while rain poured on him.
Photographers. There was a guy getting gas who took out his fucking cell phone.
It is Brad Clement. I'll show you. All right. Strongly urge everyone listening to this to Google Brad Clement. Let me find his
arrest photo.
Brad Clement arrest. It is a thing of beauty.
Oh, he's Liam Neeson.
He's
like if Liam Neeson and Sean Penn fucked each
other.
And had a kid.
Yeah.
Oh man, it is raining too.
Is that my friend?
Now, the stupid haircut, is that because he's on the run, or is that just his normal haircut?
I think that's the rain that's, like, making it all, like, yeah.
He looks like, what was the character in Ben Stiller played in the Army reenactment movie, Tropic Thunder?
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of looks like that guy.
Yeah. So, I would strongly recommend that everyone Google Brad Clement arrest. Is that my friend, Chase? So... Brad was apprehended by U.S. Marshals, taken into custody, and indicted for concealing Chase's death and making a false statement to authorities.
Mm-hmm. And the Nancy Grace. You got to pay for that.
You got to pay for that, Brad. So, an autopsy revealed that there were no obvious signs of trauma or assault. The toxicology report showed that there was heroin, meth, and bipolar medication in Chase's system at the time of his death.
Find me someone in Georgia who doesn't have all that stuff in their system.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Thanks for listening, Georgia.
Other than the people listening right now in Georgia.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, Georgia.
So, it is most likely that Chase overdosed.
Relax. We live in West Virginia. It's a joke. Yeah, take a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, you people out there that we don't even really know if you're mad or not.
I'm there. Let me tell you how to react to things.
Yeah, fake
as
people.
As a white man, I think it's kind of my job. Okay?
Look, you assumptive people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is most likely the fact he most likely overdosed while at Chase's house or Brad's house. And Brad, who had...
Okay, I'm stupid. I thought you meant that's who was in Brad's system when they arrested him. When they found all that in Chase.
In Chase at the time of his death.
But, so there wasn't enough there to identify Chase's body, but they're like, there's definitely meth in there.
So this would have been like, like the initial report, they didn't really, couldn't determine. But then they do like a...
Because they couldn't just like look at the face. There wasn't
Okay. Yeah. When you first find
like when
him,
you said that, I was like, they can't still tell us. It's
right.
Like, there's got to be like... DNA and stuff.
Yeah, no, like first looking at
him. Other than he had the shirt on and the pants up.
Yeah.
You're like 90%.
He was pretty decomposed. Yeah. So it seemed, but so Brad, like during the, when he went on the run, there, like some of the local media started to kind of dig into what he'd been doing the
They called him like Mad Brad.
Mad Brad.
What's the latest on Mad Brad?
He's just a town over, apparently, so...
He could be anywhere! Did he go to Mexico? Canada? Puerto Rico?
He's in the studio?
Yeah,
he's outside the studio.
He's the one talking? That was him?
I'm him?
Not very smart, Brad.
So they kind of looked into what he had been up to the 3 years in between. So he had been... he had had a little bit of trouble with the law in the past 3 years and had some drug charges. So... I would assume, this is my assuming, that Chase probably overdosed.
Yeah.
Brad was probably also partaking and had stuff, so he couldn't.
Maybe even providing.
Yeah, so he probably couldn't just turn around and call the police. Then he just thought.
I mean, I thought that's a lot of errands. How do you have that much energy to run all those errands?
And
meth. Now I get it.
Why would it take all this time?
Yeah.
So, and why did you, yeah, so. Then he just buried the body in the yard and then thought, I'll probably get away with this. You know, instead of, like, just being, like, okay, fuck. I mean, he's on drugs, so I guess thought processes aren't great. But, like, I would hope that I would call the police and be like, I am also very high right now. Yeah. My friend just overdosed. I need to help with them.
Or even like he was on Elm Street as an arrow.
I'm perfectly fine, though. So, yeah, I think that's probably what happened. I don't think there was any. I don't think Brad killed him.
Yeah.
I just think Brad is a piece of shit for trying to.
Not a very good friend.
Hide him.
Yeah.
And, like, now his wife.
You still go on Nancy Grace and just.
And try to pretend like you.
That's so fucked
up. So, on March 2nd, 2018, Cobb County Judge Stephen J. Schuster denied Brad bond. Brad's lawyers argued that their client should be...
Where's he going to go? Georgia? Where? I mean, come on.
His lawyers argued that Brad was too fucking stupid to run too far.
He doesn't know how doors work. He's like Beasley. He just sits there and doors. He's like, I thought he'd be good through a door. Someone's going to open it, and he's going to be like, oh, thank you.
So they tried to argue that he should be in rehab with an ankle monitor while waiting trial, but the judge was not having any of that shit. So then a little bit over 9 months later, on December 17th, 2018, Brad pled guilty to one count of concealing the death of Chase Masner, as well as one count of making a false statement
to Nancy Grace.
He had originally pled not guilty, but after a trial was set to take place in January, he changed his plea and took the Alford plea, which basically means that he still says he's innocent,
yeah,
but that there'd be too much evidence.
What can I do?
I fucking hate the Alford plea.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest shit in the world to me, but whatever. Mother Chase's mom was in the courtroom during this, and chief attorney district or district attorney assistant district attorney ADA Jesse Evans read Chase's mom's impact statement, lamenting the loss of her only son, who, quote, would not have ever left his two little girls. Words cannot begin to explain the torment me and my family and Chase's friends have been put through at the hands of Brad Clement, she wrote. Judge Stephen Schuster sentenced Clement to 15 years with 8 years to serve in prison and the rest on probation and imposed a $1,000 fine. Brad Clement, before he was led from the courtroom, told Masner's family, I'm very sorry for your loss. He will be released in 2026 and he will spend the remaining 7 years on probation.
2 years.
So in a couple of years. Yeah.
But, I mean, that's probably the best thing for him. Like 15 years or eight served is a lot more if they would have got him for murder.
Yeah. But I mean, to put, especially Chase's mom. To put her through this shit.
And the daughters. I mean,
and to make her.
Yeah, the mom.
And the daughters. But yeah, the mom to wonder every day, like, is Chase out there somewhere? Is he okay? Like, is he.
Was he killed violently? Was he, you know, but yeah. He just overdosed. Not so, just, but. Yeah, it does sound like an overdose.
And then, like, if that is. If you're Brad in that situation. And you. Why? Yeah, like, why the fuck would you go.
On the run for a week.
Well, but why would you go on Nancy Grace's fucking podcast? Yeah. Like,
well, drugs. I mean,
true. So yeah, this one. When I first started reading into it, I was convinced right from the get-go that Amanda and Brad were having an affair, and that Brad killed Chase. You know, whatever. And then, as I got to the part,
well, that's your cynical mind.
Yeah,
that says a lot about you.
So, but
it was a love story. Chase loved drugs. Brad loved not being in jail.
Chase had a lot of problems. Yeah. He had PTSD, bipolar disorder, had some drug addiction.
That's rough.
A lot of problems with his marriage. Like you said, though, like, you know.
Deserved a better friend, definitely.
At some point, Brad said that,
man,
you know,
up and just be like, look, my friend died.
Yeah, at some point, you know, Brad tried to say that Chase was looking for that painkiller or whatever, and then while he didn't know what it was, he gave Chase money for it. Which could have been his kind of his guilty conscience saying, like, I bought the drugs that Chase...
Somewhat admitting to it, but
that
still...
That Chase overdosed on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really shitty story all around, but one that... And there was, like, 3 years there where nobody... Where it was just left unsolved, and nobody knew if Chase was missing or...
Well, 2 years, we'll get him on the show. We'll get Brad.
I would rather not.
Okay.
We'd have to go to Georgia.
Sorry, Brad.
So
I ain't going to Georgia. They kind of hate me there.
Yeah, apparently.
I mean, say the last time about Georgians.
But
Georgonians?
Georgians.
Georgians. Georgias. Yeah. Georgia has an L in it.
Did you find out about the Georgia in Africa whenever there was a news story about...
What?
Did you just find out about it now?
Is it Georgia and Africa?
Uh-huh.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
No.
So I remember a few years back, like a decade probably at this point, there was a news story I remember seeing about like tanks and stuff rolling through Georgia is what it kept saying.
Okay.
And I was like, what the fuck? Like, there are tanks? What is happening?
Atlanta's all off the chain.
Then I started seeing footage and I was like, what part of Atlanta is this?
Oh, my God.
Turns out there's a Georgia, Africa.
All right.
So that's when I found out. And you just found out now.
Just now. I still don't believe you.
Okay.
My cynical mind.
I don't blame you.
Okay.
So you can check it out.
I won't.
But, all right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
Glad we're back with another episode.
Yeah.
We'll try to be back again soon. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. Things are, like we said earlier, life happens.
Yep.
So we'll try to be back.
We're life livings. What was it? That's four life livings.
We're Vin Diesel. Yeah, life livings.
Life
livings. Quarter mile at a time.
Yep.
Whatever that means.
Quarter pounder at a time.
Quarter pounder at a time.
Yep.
Do you love a good quarter pounder?
I don't.
Do you not?
Nope.
Why not?
I just want a hamburger, just hamburger, ketchup, and mustard. I don't.
Oh, I get mine plain.
Oh, so it's just a quarter pound of hamburger.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get one now.
You just get a big, thicker burger.
All right.
It's good.
Right, talk me into
it. You gotta check it, though, because they'll fuck it up. You gotta be very clear in your instructions.
Plain, only ketchup and mustard. Yeah. And they get mad. I don't know why. Like, it's less work.
I'm giving you less work.
Less work, but they're just like, bah!
Yeah. How dare you have it. Anything else before we get out of here?
Nope.
All right. Well, until next time, this has been Middle-Aged and Mediocre, and this is Cash reminding you that meathead is just a fancy term for blowjob. Goodbye.
Bye. Oh, my God, my butt.